Welcome to The Dill Dorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and I'm not really much of an exhibitionist, which might sound weird because I have a sex blog and stuff, but yeah, who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I really like being the center of attention.
I wonder if that is why perhaps you wanted to be spanked for your birthday party over the internet.
That might have something to do with it, yeah.
I mean, it's right in your name. You're a Bexhibitionist, so...
That's not... No. No.
That's what it says on your birth certificate. That's the full version of your name.
Bex is just an abbreviation. Now they all know.
It's how, like, my name is short for Masticate, so makes perfect sense. Okay, so tell me about exhibitionism. What types of activities are involved in exhibitionism?
I think exhibitionism, like, can really be any activity. It's just about being watched, you know what I mean? It's about enjoying being seen doing whatever sexy things it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, I think a lot of people have this, like, notion of exhibitionism as, like, a non-consensual thing, maybe, as, like, the stereotype of, like, the dude in the trench coat, like, jumping out from behind the bushes. And there does seem to be a lot of people who are, like, into non-consensual exhibitionism, but, like, I feel like that's true of any kink. Like, there are ways to do it consensually and ways to not do it.
Yeah, I remember being in high school and looking up exhibitionism in, like, dictionaries or the DSM or something, because that's the kind of shit I did when I was in high school, and seeing that it was all about, like, non-consensually showing your junk off, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want them to want to see it. Like, I'm super fucking cute. Like, part of what's appealing about exhibitionism is that they want to watch me and they're enjoying it.
Yeah, same. Like, I'm not much into it myself, but the times that I have enjoyed it, it's definitely been about people's positive reactions and them being excited about my body and excited by my body. And I can't personally imagine getting into it if someone wasn't consenting, but I do think it's interesting that you bring up that it's just a matter of, like, any activity where someone is watching you. And so, like, it can be one person watching you, it can be a big group of people, it can be people online, they can be doing it quote-unquote in secret, like from behind a door for some kind of, like, surreptitious roleplay scenario, or they can be, like, right out in the open, obviously watching you. There's, like, a lot of different permutations that are possible.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about when you first got into exhibitionism. Tell me your origin story with regards to this kink.
I don't know. I mean, we've talked about before how I kind of felt like I've always been kinky, and exhibitionism is one of those kinks that I don't really remember, like, discovering so much as, like, when I realized kink was a thing, exhibitionism was out there as, like, one of the obvious ones, and I was like, oh, yep, that one's me, yeah. So, like I said, I remember as far back as, like, middle and high school, like, looking things up and being perplexed as to why people would, like, be into it non-consensually and just being like, I mean, that seems like me, but not quite, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things I found interesting, though, is when I, like, mentioned playing with the idea of exhibitionism for an episode, you were like, oh, I'm not really an exhibitionist, and you said that again earlier on here, but, like, I responded then the same way I'm going to now. You post a lot of nudes, and I'm curious, like, what that is for you, if not exhibitionism? Like, how is that different in your experience of it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I was thinking about when I said I'm not an exhibitionist is that I don't get, like, sexual arousal or pleasure out of doing it, so I don't consider it a kink of mine. It's more something I do for, like, psychological gratification in much the same way that I might post a link to, like, my latest article and be like, I'm really proud of this piece I wrote, and if people write compliments in the comments, that's nice. It's the same thing for me when I post selfies and people are like, oh, your makeup looks really great today, or, like, you have such beautiful lips or whatever. It just gives me a boost psychologically, but it's not a sexual thing. And the reason that I don't consider myself an exhibitionist is, like, the times that people have wanted me to do some kind of like performance exhibitionist-y type thing in a sex situation, I've always gotten really, really anxious about that. I don't really like the feeling of being watched during sex. It tends to make me really self-conscious about what my face looks like and what my body looks like. I don't even like having like one partner watch me masturbate. And part of that is like, I get frustrated. I'm like, why aren't you touching me though? Like, you're right here. But another part of it is like, I feel so just cognizant of everything my body and face are doing in a really uncomfortable way. And like, I have done cam shows in the past and I've sold nudes and stuff, but those for me have always been more about the money. I don't really get much sexual pleasure out of that. I mean, sometimes I do have real orgasms, but the times when I actually am able to relax into real pleasure during a cam show, for example, are always the times when I've managed to like tune out the fact that there's a camera on me and just kind of imagine that I'm with a partner or imagine that I'm just by myself.
That's really interesting, because that kind of has me now thinking, like, I don't know so much where the line is between, like, do I get sexual gratification about, like, showing mm-hmm. off and sending nudes, or does it just feel good? Because I think it's more along the lines of, like, it's a thing that I enjoy, it's a thing that feels good psychologically to me, but that overlaps into feeling good sexually. Kind of like, I think, how your teacher's pet stuff rolls together mm-hmm. and, like, being called a good girl, or how I like being called a good boy. Being watched and being seen like that is a way that's kind of affirming in the same way, and that feels mm-hmm. good in similar ways to me. So mm-hmm. it's not like, you know, oh, someone's looking at me and like that is an immediate line to my genitals. Like, it kind of bounces around in my brain and hits a few different points in ways that I'm like, oh, but this is like really affirming and kind of hot, and like that feeling of being desired, that someone would want to watch me in that sort of way. And sometimes it does also play into like servicey stuff, like look at me being pretty for you and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Because I think a lot of the ways exhibitionism comes up in my current sex life is just in how I play with my partner, because my mm-hmm. service long distance, it's a lot of just playing on Skype or sending Snapchat nudes back and forth and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that feels really good, like almost in a way of connection, but also because it just feels affirming to like have someone want to see me like that. But I've also done play in, like, public spaces, like at play parties and stuff, where the mm-hmm. fact that I'm being watched is more of an afterthought. Mm-hmm. Like, I was getting fisted at camp a couple weeks ago, and at one point I was, like, making a lot of noise, and the person was like, I don't know, does this mean you want me to stop? Do you want more? Like, what is it? And, like, I think I just made, like, noises that were not words. and she was like, okay, like, but, like, do you need me to stop? Like, tell me again. And I was like, no, definitely not. And, like, I heard other people in the tent laugh, and I was just like, oh, hi, I guess I'm drawing attention to myself right now. There are other humans. And it was a cool kind of afterthought that I was like, oh, I'm doing a cool thing, and people are paying attention to it because it's extra cool. Because these people, like, of all the things happening right now, like, some of them are choosing to watch this because it's hot. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, it is hot. That's right, you know?
Yeah, that makes me think about how we both enjoy public speaking. I would argue that you are better at it than me. But, like, for example, I always notice when I go up on stage at Tell Me Something Good, which is our local sexy storytelling event here, sometimes even if the story that I have to tell is not a particularly funny story, I find myself kind of juiced up by adrenaline and, like, going into a little bit of a stand-up comedian type of energy and improvising and being funny and really thriving on that attention. And so I could see how you might make jokes during a sexual situation and how that might be fun to have people watch that. I I think that it would be a lot easier for me to combine that with sexual situations if I wasn't so intensely anxious.
Yeah.
Sometimes I really wonder, like, what would my life be like if I didn't have anxiety? Like, it's, you really can't go down that path because that's very scary to think about and sad.
I think our anxiety manifests in slightly different ways, though, too. Like, mm-hmm. for you, a lot of your anxiety is around how you look during sex, or at least that's the perception I get when I talk to you about it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, for me, a lot of my anxiety is around being desired, and, like, are they only doing this as a favor to me? Like, they, you know, do they like me, but they're not that into me, but I guess they'll have sex with me because I want it, like, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So having people ask specifically to see certain things, or engage in, like, watching me when, like, at a play event where there's other things they could be watching and they came over and are choosing to watch this, mm-hmm. or a partner being like, no, now I want to see you do XYZ, like, that is a very mm-hmm. Acute and specific expression of desire, mm-hmm. and it, for me, is like, oh, right, they want to be here, oh, right, they're enjoying this. So for me, being seen is kind of helps to mitigate and counteract my anxieties, whereas for you it sounds like being seen is kind of the root of a lot of your anxieties.
Yeah, I found it really interesting. I had a dominant partner recently who told me that he really admired the way I was able to get really immersed in sex. And he was like, a lot of other women, you know, they care about what their face is doing or what their hair looks like. And I just feel like you're never like that. And I laughed out loud at him because I was like, because he was a very, very dominant partner who worked really well with my kinks in a lot of ways. And so with him, I was able to get immersed. And part of it was that I knew, like you're saying, I knew that he wanted me and he wanted me doing these particular things. And so I could kind of relax and not worry so much about what I look like because I knew that he wasn't too bothered about it. But I thought it was hilarious that he said that because I was like, with literally every other partner I've ever had, this has been such an issue for me.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a step forward. But I'm interested in hearing more about how spectators affect how you feel in a scene. Because, like, we have a friend, our friend Taylor, has told me before that he's not really a masochist except when he's in front of, like, a bunch of people. Because I guess he feels this, like, sense of, like, a need to perform and take as much as possible and, like, show off how much he can take.
Yeah.
And I feel like you work similarly, like, from that fisting story and from seeing you at your spanking birthday party. Is that something that you feel, like, a sense of, like, needing to prove yourself?
I do a little bit, and I do find more, like, so with my masochism specifically, what feels good about it is hearing people be like, you know, wow, that's impressive, or oh my god, look how much you took, or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, at the spanking party, when I would hear people, like, wince behind me, or, like, gasp, or, like, you know, I could tell they were, like, it was an intense experience for them seeing it, and I was like, yeah, look at what I could do. And that was really, like, affirming and validating. And I do find, I get a little bit performative if I know I'm being watched, in a way that, so, I get performative in a way that makes me feel more authentic, which is a weird sentence, but.
Interesting. Tell me more.
I feel like, so, Allison Moon tells this story on Bawdy about the time that she got fisted at Jisley's 30th birthday party. Mm-hmm. And she talks about how she was an extra in this porn shoot. It was like a live stream porn thing. And she figured, you know, oh, I'll just hang out on the sidelines and, like, make out with people and, you know, be a little bit in it. And then mm-hmm. winds up getting fisted and opens her eyes and all of the cameras in the room are trained on her. Like, she is suddenly the center of all of the attention. And for her, because she works as a sex educator and everything, she wanted to be like, okay, here's my opportunity to make this look okay, make this look acceptable, and, like, convey to all of these people everything that's happening inside me. All of the ways mm-hmm. it feels good, all of the ways it's intense and bonding as she takes this fist, and it's the first time she's ever taken a fist, too. And I kind of get that when I'm in a, like, a performative space. I'm like, okay, I need to communicate what's happening in my body. And mm-hmm. even if I feel like I'm just performing for a partner versus, like, jerking off solo, if I'm having sex with someone, I get a little bit into that performative headspace. And it's not even totally conscious, but I make more noise, I move more, I have more facial expressions and everything. If I'm jerking off alone in my room, I could 100% have a magic wand up against my bit and, like, be laying, like, a plank. And, like, yeah. perfectly still, magic wand on high, my legs, like, tense and straight out, and my arm just, like, holding it as tight against me as I can, and, like, that's, I'm good. Like, that's it. which is a cool experience, especially when I'm as sick as I am right now, and that's about all I've got in me. But when I'm feeling more performative or when I'm having sex with people, it makes me engage more with what's happening in my body because I'm trying to communicate that through the way I'm acting and the faces I'm making and that sort of thing. And I find that I may not orgasm as easily because as I do when I'm alone, but I enjoy a fuller range of sensations. And I feel like I kind of... I don't know, I enjoy it more when I'm making noise, but I just don't even think to do that solo. It's not like...
Yeah.
It's not like it's a deliberate conscious, like, there is a human, I must moan. But it's just how my sexuality manifests differently around people.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm noticing the same thing lately. The few times that I do make noise while I'm jerking off, I'm like, oh, I just suddenly got a whole lot more turned on.
Yeah.
From making noise.
From, it's like, really, my own noises.
Strange. Yeah.
It's also interesting to me that since starting testosterone and since my voice has dropped, my noises got more masculine. Not consistently. And I still do, like, have, like, more femme screams and squeals and whatever. But it, even if I am consciously making, like, more masculine noises, like, that even turns me on more for, like, grunts and moans and, like, low-pitched stuff, and I'm just like, interesting, playing with gender.
You're reminding me of this conversation I had, like, probably a decade ago with a female friend who, I was telling her at the time, like, I was really embarrassed because I just had a sexual encounter where I had faked an orgasm. Which really conflicted with my ethics at the time. Like, I really strongly felt like if you're having sex with a partner, you should trust them enough to, like, ask for what you want and not, you know, put on a false front. And I felt really guilty that I had done this. Like, basically, I had faked this orgasm because I felt really awkward about the encounter. Like, it was consensual, but, like, I kind of just wanted it to be over at that point.
Yeah. What button do I push to go to sleep alone now? I've definitely wound up in those situations where I was like, this was fun, and now I'm done.
And I was, like, 15, 16, so, like, I didn't have the communication skills and the assertiveness to be like, I am not enjoying myself. So I was talking to this friend of mine, I was telling her this story, and I was like, I can't believe I did that, I'm so mad at myself, I never want to do that again. And she very nonchalantly was like, oh, I fake orgasms all the time, and I love doing it. And I was like, what? Tell me more. Baby sex nerd brain kicked into gear. I was like, I have to know every detail of why. And she explained to me basically what you just said, that, like, it really helped her get more into her body, and, like, the performativity of it created an authentic enjoyment for her. Which maybe she wouldn't have felt if she was focusing really hard and trying to have an actual orgasm, which can be stressful sometimes. And I was like, that is fascinating. I still personally for myself don't like to fake orgasms because for me it tends to be a sign that I'm not feeling comfortable enough with the particular partner to tell them what's going on and to ask for what I want. But I do think that's a really interesting perspective.
Yeah, I will sometimes... I don't want to say fake, but, like, round up orgasms, because sometimes, like, my orgasms with partners tend to be very different than the ones I have solo. The ones I have solo tend, like, the orgasm tends to be this more focused, intense, like, experience, whereas everything leading up to it is like, oh, this is good and fun and whatever, but it's all much more goal-oriented when I'm solo. When I'm with a partner, it's more about the way it feels good while I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and it can get to a point where the orgasms are not intense in the same way that they are solo. They're more like little peaks, and I can have a couple of them. Especially when I'm hooking up with people for, like, the first or second time. Like, I think my sir is the only person who, when I have sex with him, like, my orgasms are comparable to what they would be solo. And I think that's for a couple reasons. Like, A, because we use a lot of toys when we're together. And B, because it's been, like, what, almost 2 years now that we've been, like, consistently sexting and, like, having sex when we see each other and, like, all this stuff. Not quite 2 years, probably closer to a year and a half. But still, like, there's a lot of background there, and, like, he knows how my body works really well. But other than that, yeah, I, like, will sometimes round up to communicate that, like, all right, that was what an orgasm is gonna look like today. Like, that's about what we're gonna get. And it, like, maybe a 2 on the Richter scale, but, like, that's okay, and that's what we're getting, and, like, I feel happy about that. So for me, I'm not, like, faking an orgasm. I'm not faking pleasure. I'm just taking the pleasure I'm having and maybe putting it in a more traditional framework that I don't necessarily like. I'm translating it into a language that everyone will understand more clearly, so I don't have to sit down and, like, yeah, exactly. Like, so I don't have to sit down and necessarily have the conversation if I don't want to.
Yeah, I remember telling you the most recent time I faked an orgasm, which again is something I don't like to do and have maybe done 5 or fewer times in my life. But the most recent time was, I think, probably, like, the noblest reason I've ever faked one, which was, like, I had been banging this guy fairly regularly for a while, and he had never made me come because we were only fucking in a sex club, which is not a great environment for my anxiety. But there was this one night when he, like, tried really hard with oral, like, really, like, went above and beyond and was really, really into it. And I could tell, like, I wasn't going to come because my anxiety and because I'd had a drink, but I was like, I want to reinforce this behavior.
Because in other circumstances, if he did this, I would come.
Exactly. That was exactly the thing. And like you're saying, I wasn't faking pleasure. It really did feel good. But there's this common perception that if there's no orgasm, there was no pleasure. And for me, like, orgasms are important, so I understand that. But I just really wanted to pat him on the back, as it were, for what he was doing. And then indeed, like, the next time we fucked, I did come, which I think was partly because, like, that encounter sort of laid the foundation for, like, him knowing what he needed to do and me feeling like I could let go with him a little bit more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think, like, I think the issue or the problem, like, faking orgasms becomes very much the, like, you never ever do it, it's lying, it's terrible. And the issue is the idea that it's, like, reinforcing bad behavior. But, like, sometimes the behavior is not the reason I'm not gonna get off.
Exactly, you know? Yes.
Like, sometimes there are 6 million other circumstances, and, like, this is just as good as I'm gonna feel right now, and I am I'm enjoying it. I'm not pretending to enjoy an experience, and I think that's when faking orgasms gets kind of, like, wishy-washy and problematic, where you're, like, really miserable and you're faking this intense pleasure. Where for me, I'm just kind of rounding up, especially with someone that, like, I'm not gonna see again, or, you know, like, I think it also becomes an issue if it's, like, the groundworks for a beginning of a relationship, and then 6 months in, you have to be like, so that tongue thing that you think is amazing, about that.
Yeah. I also just really don't like the dishonesty aspect of it. So I think that if I did, like, kind of fake one and someone directly asked me if I came, I think I would be honest with them.
Oh, yeah. I've never, like, people have asked, and I've never been like, yeah, of course, sweetie. Good job, champ. High five. Like, and when they ask, I'm usually like, Which yeah. really is the correct answer there, because, like, kinda? That's so bad. Orgasms are hard. Definitions are hard.
Yeah. This conversation is making me realize, though, that, like, I think I do have a little bit of exhibitionism, and it manifests in I enjoy it when people enjoy my noises. Because, like I said, I have a lot of anxiety about my appearance, but I know that my sex noises are cute. I've heard this from so many people. This is not even, like, a personal opinion that I hold. Like, this is this is based on empirical evidence. So there is something I enjoy about, like, the first time I hook up with someone and they get to hear those sounds for the first time, which tends to be a lot of giggling, moaning, whatever. I find especially, like, dominant and toppy partners tend to get really into that because their whole thing is they like giving sensation and, like, eliciting reactions, usually the type of people that I sleep with, and so that's fun for me. My noises are, I think, why if someone has legit made me come before, I don't think me faking would work anymore on them because they would know. Like, I always find it interesting to geek out with partners who know my body really well and ask them stuff about my responses because I just find it really fascinating. And I asked this partner of mine who had gotten me off, like, a lot of times. I was like, can you tell when I come? Like, can you always tell when I come? And he looked at me like that was a really dumb question. He was like, of course, like, your sounds change, your whole body changes. Like, I can't imagine not being able to tell. But I'm thinking, this is, like, barely related, but our friend Brent always tells me that I'm really fun to go to comedies with because I always laugh a lot at the show.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that I think comes from attending an arts high school where they really prioritize the importance of being a good audience member and, like, really supporting people who are performing so that they feel like they're doing a good job. Like, not to say that it's not the fake orgasms equivalent, like, the laughing equivalent of faking an orgasm. Like, yeah. I'm laughing at things I actually think are funny, but I think I'm, like, more showy about it than people generally are. But
you're also just A, very easy to make laugh, and B, very expressive, like, in regular life.
Thank you. But I'm thinking about this with regards to spanking, because I remember when I was the demo bottom for our friend Taylor's impact play class at a sex shop here, and I do giggle a lot when I receive pain, especially in situations where it's, like, not explicitly a sexy scenario, which, like, this, you know, it was a friend and it was in front of a bunch of people, so I was, like, there was a lot of giggling, and I kind of enjoyed that as, like, it was almost like I was modeling the fact that, like, kink doesn't have to be super serious,
yeah.
And this is all fun, and, like, look how fun this is, and I think that it really, like, helps set people at ease, and I enjoy being able to do that with my sounds and with my laughter. This is barely related to exhibitionism, what I'm saying. We're both so sick, and we're both going on these tangents that are, like,
I'm literally dying, y'all. Like, I have never been this tired in my life. I'm podcasting with my eyes closed.
I mean, you look great, so there's that. We're both just, like, periodically taking breaks to clear our throats and blow our noses. Real sexy over here.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting because for me, like, it's never occurred to me to be anxious about what my face does when I'm having sex. Like, it's just gonna do what it does and, like, deal with it, I guess. But, like,
it's a good attitude.
Whatever. But my noises, which, like, hearing them in the moment can be hot to me. Afterwards, like, thinking back on them, I'm like, oh god, like, that, those are actually the closest thing for exhibitionism that's really, like, anxiety provoking for me, especially when I get really loud, which is a thing I used to do, like, years ago, and then had kind of fallen away from, and, like, not experienced much of lately, until the past, like, year or so, where part of it, I think, is when I was, because I was in spaces where I really could make as much noise as I wanted to. So, like, in Airbnbs with my partner, or in hotel rooms, or at sex camp, or whatever. And also, like, when I was doing more intense stuff. But I would realize, after or halfway through or, like, later, I was like, oh, Jesus, I am screaming. Like, I am making a lot of noise. And I don't realize it's happening in the moment. Like, it just kind of does. I'm focused on all of the other shit that's happening. Uh-huh. And then, like, I hear it or I think about it later and I'm like, oh, God, that's, oh, is that obnoxious? That's, I am, that is a lot of noise. Jesus, I'm sorry.
When I was living in my parents' house, I used to have this fuck buddy who was, like, really, really funny, and we would often, like, stay up late until, like, 2 or 3 in the morning laughing our asses off, especially if we got high, and, like, my room was on the top floor of the house, and there was nothing else up there, so, like, we had relative privacy, but I remember there was this one night where we were, like, laughing our asses off, and then also, like, had some pretty intense sex. And then the next morning, I was just, like, hanging out with my family, and my mom's just like, so it sounded like you and your friend had a good time last night. I fully assumed she meant the sex. I was like, what did you hear? And she was just like, oh, you guys were just laughing a lot. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine.
That does sound like us. Yes, yes. We were laughing, watching comedy shows up there, fully clothed at all times, on opposite sides of the room.
I don't know if you know this, but stand-up also makes me moan and shout right there a lot. It's kind of a weird side of
it. Yeah, these things happen. It makes it awkward when you go to live shows, but what can you do?
So, speaking of going to live shows, friend, are you also a voyeur, or are you, like, way far on the exhibitionist side of the spectrum?
Yes and. So, like, I do like, when I go to play events, I do like watching, but at the same time, that, like, makes me a little more anxious, because I'm like, I understand that you were fucking in a sex sling in the middle of camp, but do you want people to look at you? This seems like a private moment. Like, yeah. I'm that guy. Yeah. So I will, like, glance for a few minutes and be like, oh, that is hot, and then move on and try and let you have your alone time in the middle of a field, you know. So, like, that makes me a little anxious, but I do really, like, see, I was gonna say I really like when people send things specifically to me, but that also makes me super anxious. Like, again, in that, like, I want you to see me, and it is, again, like, an expression of desire, when someone, like, sends me nudes or something, it's like, oh, you were thinking of me while naked, that's great. but, like, also when people talk to me, like, or do, like, videos or something, I get so, like, blushy and nervous and anxious, and I'm just like, oh, Jesus, I don't, hello, hi, hello, okay. So especially something like, I bought snaps from Victor Belmont, who is a porn performer that I freaking love. And he had posted a thing on his snap story that was like, oh, you know, I'm sending, you know, dirty snaps or whatever. So I bought some, and like, he talked directly into the camera and he like custom records them for each person who buys them and everything. And I was like, was too anxious to watch any of them for, like, a day. And then I, like, watched the first one, and he, like, talked directly at me and, like, winked and blew a kiss and was like, you know, hey, babe. And I was like, ah! And immediately, like, panicked and blushed and, like, threw the phone. So, like, that actually makes me more anxious in, like, I guess because there's pressure on me to have a specific reaction. Mm-hmm. Like, they are being vulnerable in a way that is supposed to be hot, and for me that is scary, like, to do that. I know how scary that can be to be, like, you know, doing something, because I have a lot of anxiety around the idea of doing something that's supposed to be hot, and it not being read as hot by the other person. The other person's like, the fuck are you doing? Like, yeah. That's... Or, like, they laugh or something. Like, that's super scary to me. Mm-hmm. Which is why, especially if I'm, like, sending pictures to people, it's super hot to me if they ask me for something specific.
Yes.
Because A, I'm getting a glimpse into their desires and what they're really thinking about in that moment, but B, I can't fuck that up as easily.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm on the receiving end of stuff, it almost feels like the ball is in my court, and I can't, like, I will know if I don't find what they're doing sexy. And that's terrifying, right? Like, that would be terrifying for me to be in their position and have it not be sexy. So for me, I'm like, I don't want to let you down. I'm sure you will be hot. And, like, they always are. Like, I've never once in my life gotten a nude that I asked for and be like, I don't know. Like,
mm-hmm.
But I think there's a little bit of anxiety wrapped up in that because, like, I don't know, I'm anxious on the other side, and it kind of bleeds into my voyeurism, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I feel the same, and what you were just saying was reminding me of my first threesome that I ever had, which was with a female friend and a male dude I was seeing at the time.
And a male human, I suppose.
I was gonna say fuck pal, I don't really know, it was a weird situation. Anyway, so we had this threesome, and my friend is legendarily good at giving head, and I am really into blowjob porn, really like watching people give head. So I was excited as she started to go down on him, and I was like, oh, this is my first time seeing someone give a BJ in person. It's surely going to change my life and be wonderful. And I noticed that I started to get intensely anxious because, like you said, I was, like, not sure if I was allowed to be looking at this, which is silly, I know, because we were having a threesome.
Yeah.
I can look. But I had all this anxiety, like, should I be looking at this? Where should I be looking? Is it weird if I, like, make eye contact with either of them right now? Should I be, like, doing more? Is it cool if I just lay here and watch? Is it creepy if I'm getting turned on watching this? And, like, I know that all of that is silly because, like I said, we were having a threesome. There's supposed to be, like, arousal feelings and you're allowed to watch. But it was so intense for me at the time that I kind of just, like, laid my head down and closed my eyes and kind of just, like, listened.
Well, like, because I think also
the alternative felt scary.
Yeah, I think also when you're watching, mm-hmm. you don't have the distraction of stuff happening to your bits, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a little more detached from it, and, like, arousal can supersede a lot. But if you are just there watching, you're really conscious of, like, oh, I'm getting turned on. Oh, you know, should I be here? Should I be doing this? Like, it frees your mind up to think about a lot more, which I think can also be rough. Speaking of watching blowjobs, though, this is not entirely related, but it was super hot, that during a foursome I had at camp, I had one point where I was laying on the bed, like, cuddled up against one person, while on either side of us, two people were, like, leaning over us to suck dick. So, mm-hmm. like, there was just a dick, like, inches from my face above me, and this other person, like, leaning over me from the other side to suck it, and I was like, I'm just gonna stay here forever. This is all I've ever wanted in life.
Yeah, I think, weirdly, it would have been easier for me if I had been closer down to the dick. I guess just because, like, that's a perspective that I'm more accustomed to.
Yeah.
I think it was freaking me out that I was so close to their faces. Like, I have a lot of anxiety about faces during sex. I was talking to a dominant partner of mine about this one time, and he was, like, trying to tease out, like, what is it about this that freaks you out so much? And I was like, I just feel like it's weird if I just, like, look at your face. Like, I feel like you're gonna think that's weird if just in the middle of sex you notice me looking at your face. And he's like, you know that I'm looking at your face, like, the whole time we're fucking, right? And I was like,
so that means you'll definitely catch me looking at you.
That's just, I don't know, it makes me so uncomfortable. It makes me feel like they're gonna be weirded out and be like, why are you looking at me?
It was like that time I was getting fisted and had, like, this really, you know this story.
I love this story.
Like, this really so intense, not quite orgasm, but kind of, but I was also, like, it was one of the last days I was with my partner, and I really wanted to get fisted again, but my body, like, kind of wasn't having it, so we were really, really, like, pushing my boundaries, and pushing my limits in ways that I was wanting and that felt good. But it was just this really, really intense, almost painful thing. And I, like, yelled a bunch or whatever, and I kind of, like, came down and opened my eyes, and we still hadn't quite gotten the fist in. Like, we were at, like, the widest point. And his hand was still there, and he was kneeling between my legs, and I, like, opened my eyes, and I look up, and I was like, why are you looking at me like that? And he, without missing a beat, just goes, because we are currently having sex. And I was like, oh right. And he's like, I need you to tell me what you want me to do next. He's like, are we still trying this? Am I pulling my hand out? Like, we're doing a thing now. That's why I'm looking at you.
I love that story because that's so relatable to me. Like, I don't know why I have this thing.
I was, like, panicked. I was like, why are you staring at me? He's like, because my fist is in you? Like, I don't...
I have this this new blog post up this week about my kink for winking, which is a whole other thing. Maybe we'll do an episode one day on weird things that turn us on. But I have this story in there about this time that this friend of mine was, like, fucking me with a dildo, and I came really hard, and my eyes were squeezed shut, and then I kind of, like, caught my breath and came back down to earth and opened my eyes, and when I opened my eyes, he was, like, staring me right in the eyes, and he winked at me, and I kind of died.
Yeah.
That was, like, a rare instance where eye contact during sex didn't make me want to actively curl up in a hole and never look at anybody again. Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. Bex, what's your Fuck That this week?
My Fuck That are people who are unenthusiastic about watching. Who are, like, sitting there, like, they're, like, golf clapping or something. Like, they're just like, yes, okay, there is sex things happening. And, like, if voyeurism is participation in a way such that you should be engaged with it. Like, if I'm sending you nudes, I want, like, enthusiastic responses. Like, you know, I... First of all, I want a response if you... If it is, like, a consensual nude. Like, don't fucking ignore it. But also, like... You know, act like you're excited to get it. And kind of engage with what's happening. Because if you're watching someone, you are a part of that experience. Whether you're watching one person or a group or whatever, just like you talked about being a good audience member, like, the same thing kind of happens in sexy spaces. So, totally. Like, be present, and if you're going to engage, like, engage. And that doesn't mean you are invited to join the party, but don't, like, override the situation and, like, ah, yes, I am, voyeurs are participation, so pay attention to me now. But also,
it's like when you go to a burlesque show, a convention of burlesque is that, like, whenever they do something particularly amazing or whenever a piece of clothing comes off, the audience cheers and claps and makes noise. And to me, the idea behind that is, like, this person's doing something very vulnerable and very scary, and they deserve to be applauded at every turn for that.
Yeah.
And to be supported in that. And if you do that, they're going to want to do that more. And that's not just true of burlesque, obviously. I think that's true of anybody performing in any sexual situation, even if they're just performing for one person.
Yeah, exactly. What about you? What's your fuck it? Whatever one we're doing.
You want to try that again, or do you want me to just leave that in like that?
I'm not sure it'll be better the next time.
Okay. My fuck that.
Great. Go team.
Is the eye contact anxieties that I've been talking about. It's kind of sad that my last partner broke up with me for many reasons. But one of the reasons is that he was one of the, I think, actually the first person I'd ever told that I wanted to start working on this with him, because we had this great kink dynamic, and I was like, I have all these anxieties about having my eyes open during sex and eye contact and stuff, and I really don't want to have those anymore. but I think I need, like, a little push to move through it. So I had asked him if he could start doing things, like, maybe in the middle of sex, if he noticed my eyes were closed, maybe he could ask me to open them and look at him and make it into a kink thing, because, as we've talked about so many times, kink is a big motivator for me. And we had sort of a little bit started to do that, and then we broke up. And now I'm like, well, now I have to, like, wait until I have another, like, trusted partner who I feel comfortable working through that with. Or I could just be brave and work on it myself, which feels hard in a different way. But,
yeah,
I'm tired of having those anxieties. I want to move through it.
One thing I think is interesting, like, I keep my eyes closed not for anxiety, but because I get really overwhelmed. Especially during kink stuff, but even during, like, intense sex stuff, where, like, I need to close my eyes because I need to process all of the other stuff happening. And with my eyes open, it becomes, like, super overwhelming and, like, too much. But then I feel bad because I feel like the other person's like, why don't you want to look at me? And it's like, no, it's not. It's not you. Like, it's just...
Yeah, exactly.
There is too much happening in my brain for me to be also seeing things.
Yeah, I think people sometimes imagine that I'm maybe, like, fantasizing about someone else or, like, not like, not really present with them, and that's so not what it is for me. Like, if anything, I'm maybe fantasizing about them being a little bit dommier with me, but usually I'm just kind of focusing on what I'm feeling. But, yeah, it would be great to be able to look at the person who's fucking me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is kind of the opposite side of what I talked about for my fuck that, but it's for, it's enthusiastic viewers and, like, the feedback I get after someone sees something, like, whether it be a picture or watching a scene or something, having someone come up to me after and be like, oh my god, that was really hot for XYZ reason is, like, super fun and validating in the same way that, like, having someone tell me I'm a good boy or, like, if they watched an impact scene being like, wow, that's amazing that you took so much, and just kind of affirming that, like, I did something impressive and it was cool and they enjoyed it, is really, like, really, really fun in sexy ways and also in just, like, feel-good ways.
Totally.
What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is, we talked about it earlier, it's being asked for specific body parts in...
Yes!
Yeah, I have a new sexting pal, dude, and he told me that he's really into tummies, which I found very affirming. Well, he told me he's really into tummies and butts, and I was like, well, I see why you're into me then, because I have a lot of both those things. So what was great about that is that it made me be like, oh, how can I take a picture that really shows off my adorable belly, which is not something I normally... ever think. Normally I'm like, how do I minimize this part of my body that I don't like?
Yeah.
So I, like, went through my nudes and found ones where my belly looked particularly chubby and adorable and sent him those, and he responded quite enthusiastically, and it made me feel better about that body part. And I think, like, I in some ways believe in the notion that you do have to love yourself before someone else can love you, etc. But I also think there are so many times when there are specific body parts of mine that I either feel neutrally about or just don't like, and that people responding enthusiastically to those parts have really changed how I view them. Like, I've talked before on this show about how my labia are fucking great. I never really thought about that much because I only knew the one set of labia that I had. But I've had partners over the years tell me many times, many different partners, that my labia are adorable. I was just telling you the other day that, like, the first time my last boyfriend went down on me, he was like, wow, you have beautiful labia. It's like a Rembrandt down here, which is, like, the greatest compliment. So now I have labia confidence ad infinitum. But, yeah, I love being asked for specific body parts because then I feel like I know what I am being asked to deliver on, and it also makes me feel real good about those body parts.
Yeah, like, it's a confidence boost, but I think, like, for me, it's particularly satisfying because of service things. And it's, like, not only are you asking for a nude, like, there are so many things I can do in a nude, but if you tell me, like, exactly what you're craving seeing, I can do that thing really well. And then, like, because if you're, like... you know, I really want to see nipples right now, and you just say, like, hey, send me a nude, and I send you a picture of my butt, like, I mean, my butt's great, like, that's not a bad thing, but also,
You know what just made me think of? Is that picture that we saw on Instagram where that person had nipples tattooed on their butt?
Yes. That person is not me, though, so you can't get nipples when you get my butt.
It was so strange. Oh, I was like the Salvador Dali of nudes. Anyway, with that, thank you for listening to this episode of The Dildorks. We're so glad you joined us to talk about exhibitionism. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. And I would love for you to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where's your stuff at?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at bextalksex.com, and I'm on social media at bextalksex on Twitter and Instagram. Together, we're the Dildorks. You can find us at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram at thedildorks.com. And you can search the Dildorks in your favorite podcasting app, especially if that's iTunes and you want to stop and rate and give us a review. It makes us show up higher in search engines and gets us more listeners.
Thank you very, very much to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. You can find all of his music at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you, as always, to Amy Gardner for doing our art for us. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, we did a podcast. Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse about sex. No, that's not what the line is. What? It's on sex dating. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never done that before. That's really weird.
And I didn't even want to suck his dick. That's how sick I am.
Sorry, that's a tragedy.
I know.
Okay.
And he was sending me, like, sexts about sucking dick, and I was like... And I was like, that even doesn't even super sound appealing. And he was like, are you dying? I was like, maybe, I don't know.